Live with all of your heart. Do your best. Move towards a healthier lifestyle step by step as God leads us on. So this morning, I want to give you another few inspirational stories, because this is what people oftentimes remember. This is what gives them encouragement. They think about Bob Anderson. Do you remember the story of Bob Anderson? Who said, "We want Bob Anderson. We don't want to have Hans Diehl." Do you remember? And the lesson of humility that was taught there. The story of Bob Anderson. A wonderful story. Then, today, I want to tell you a story of an unlikely hero. It's an unlikely turnaround. I met him in Kalamazoo in Michigan. We had 300 people in an amphitheater sponsored by the local hospital. And these people wanted to learn what they could do to reverse heart disease and diabetes and high blood pressure, how to live a happier, longer life. And I happened to see this man back there. He sat like this. You know, when I see somebody sitting like this, I have a pretty good idea what that means. Most of the time, they are kind of closed to what's going to happen. Sometimes I get the idea they don't really want to be there. And so as it was break time, I move towards this gentleman. I don't know who he is. I don't know his name. And I ask him, I said, "Tell me, what brings you here to the CHIP program, to the health lecture?" And he said to me, "My wife." And I said, so what brings your wife here?" "Oh, she wants to lose some weight. You know, these women, she looks all right to me, but she is very fanatical about losing some weight, so she's come to this program." "And so you are accompanying her to give her some support?" "Well, you have to do some of these things once in a while." That was very obvious. He didn't really want to be there. And so before I knew it, I saw a lady moving in that direction. There was a seat vacant next to his, so I suspected this may be his wife. So I intercept her, and I say, "And tell me, what brings you here to the program?" She said, "My husband." "Your husband?" "Yes, my husband. My husband, he has had 9 heart attacks. He had to retire at the age of 57. He had 2 bypass surgeries, and he is still in constant chest pain, angina pain, because the coronary arteries were not wide open to allow blood to flow and to bring oxygen to his heart muscle." And she said, "He had 9 heart attacks. He had 2 bypass surgeries. The usual cost is about $150,000. And now the bypasses are closed up again because I'm just beginning to learn they don't last unless you really make some very strong, strict lifestyle changes." So I said, "Tell me, aside from his heart disease, what else does he have?" And she said, "Oh, he has been a diabetic for 5 years. He has been hypertensive, high blood pressure for the last 13 years. And then, you know, he carries an extra 65 pounds right in the midsection there. You can look at him. He carries it. He does. And then he has the gouty arthritis. He has gout. There's everything wrong with him. He has high triglycerides in the thousands, and they should be more like 100, isn't it?" I said, "Yeah, that's right." "And he has high cholesterol, and he just had his gallbladder removed. And, you know, with all these problems, he's still smoking his pipe." Wow. So I said to her, "I'm sure he's on lots of medications, isn't he?" "Oh, yes," she said. He is on all these different medications that you see there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different medications. Some of these are blood thinners after his bypass surgery. Some is high levels of insulin because of his diabetes. And then he has these medications for his high triglycerides. And then also his medications for his high blood pressure. Oh, he is just a poor man. And this is sort of my last chance I'm taking. My last effort, maybe you can help us. She said, I should tell you, his angina pain is so bad, he can't even walk to his mailbox anymore without taking some nitroglycerin tablets to open up those arteries temporarily. And in the morning, I usually take the nitro soft, it's a kind of a cream, and put it all over his body, so that somehow it will open up these arteries a little bit, and then I put saran wrap around him. He can't sleep at night anymore very well, so we put him into a lazy boy. He sits up all night, and he sleeps there for a while, but this is no longer working. The pain on his chest is so permanent that he just now walks day and night. And I don't know what else I can do to help him. He's just in terrible pain. And yet he's at the best hospitals. He's at the Mayo Clinic. He swears on the Mayo Clinic. He says, they have done everything for me, but there's nothing that I can do. And so what actually happened, let me see. This is not quite the right slide, is it? Let me go back. Yeah, here we are. So I said to her, so tell me a little bit about what is your name? She said, I'm Mrs. Brenner, and my husband is Buzz. And if there's anything you can do, I'd be very, very grateful. Well, I wasn't too sure that I could do anything for him because he didn't seem to have an open attitude, right?
Oh, I'm just here because of my wife.
And so the next day I see him. Now I know something about him. His wife had also told me that he loves his meat. He can finish a 2-pound roast in one session, and he's a happy trooper. And so I see him the next day, and I say, Mr. Brenner, I understand you had 9 heart attacks?
Yep, I had 9 heart attacks, and you had 2 bypass surgeries. You want to see the scars, the trophies? I have them on my chest. Oh my, he was very proud that he had these 2, and they were done at the Mayo Clinic.
I said, tell me something about yourself. Is there anything else that is kind of troubling you? Or I have some diabetes, I had it for 5 years, and I've had blood pressure problems. I said, anything else? Isn't that enough? I said, tell me, what do you do for your enjoyment?
He said, well, I enjoy hunting. I go up to Canada, I have these Indian guides, and I have all the exotic animals that you can imagine. He said, I hunt bear, and I hunt caribou, I hunt seal and deer, I have bear, all of these. And you know, he said, one of these days, I want you to come to my house. I want you to see what I have in my 5 freezers. All exotic meats, and I'll show you what a real man eats.
I knew I had a tough case at my hands. And so then he comes to me and he says, tell me, why do you always pick on me? This is the second time that you're picking on me. You don't talk to anybody else. You always come and break them to me. What's wrong with me? Why do you pick on me? What are you trying to do? Are you trying to change me?
You cannot change me. I'm a German. You cannot change a German.
And I'm in the best of care at the Mayo Clinic. And who are you?
You're just from Loma Linda. I am with the big doctors.
So I knew I was in trouble. So I called my daughter. When I'm getting into trouble, I need some psychological advice. I called her. I said, honey, tell me, I have this man. He's not very open to any of what we're trying to teach here. What can I do? She said, well, just be nice to him and just ask him if he has any special goals left in his life. And maybe you can help him with those goals. Ask him particular questions. So I have this advice. The next day I see him again. And of course, you know, I make a beeline to the man that sits like this. And he knows I'm coming. And I said, Mr. Brenner, tell me, what are some of the special things that you still want to do? I mean, you are a mighty hunter. Are you still going to do some hunting? No, he said, I'm going to go fishing. Oh, I see you're going to go fishing. You fish big fish? Oh, yes, I get the big ones. I said, I see. And I said, what kind of fish are you going to get? The 80 pounders. And I said, where are you going to fish them? Where are you going to catch them? In Costa Rica. Oh, in Costa Rica, in Central America? Yes, I'm going to go down there. I said, when are you going to do this? In 6 months. And I look at this man, and I feel I have to give him some reality orientation. Because I know that if this man would just have a little minnow at the end of his hook on the line, he would get so excited that he has an angina attack. And he talks about an 8-pound, 80-pound of fish. Come on. So I look him straight in the eye, and I'm going to pick on you now, right? I look him straight in the eye. I said, Mr. Brenner, you ain't going to Costa Rica. You ain't going to go to Costa Rica in 6 months. You ain't going to get them big ones.
You ain't going nowhere.
And he really defiantly stares at me, and his eyes turn icy gray. And he says to me, you want to bet? And I see the defiance and the anger in his eyes, and I know my best next step is to escape the situation as fast as I can, and I do. When somebody looks at you and stares at you like this with defiance, you have a hard time forgetting this. I still remember the look in his eyes even now. He became dangerous. I challenged him. And then his wife told me, you know, he was told at the Mayo Clinic that there's nothing that they can do for him. They told him that it was a genetic problem. It was a family problem. He was on the best of medications. It's just that the genetics were wrong. There's nothing you can do. And so this man operated on the assumption of what he had been learning from the Mayo Clinic, from one of the best medical clinics in the country. There's nothing you can do, so I might as well smoke, might as well have whatever I have to do. I might as well enjoy my 2-pound roast, because there's nothing I can do because I picked the wrong parents. Now, what the Mayo Clinic didn't know at the time is what we understand now, and that is that, yes, you may be born with a certain genetic makeup, the next generation comes along with this new makeup, and then you have healthy genes and you have diseased genes. We all are born with some diseased genes that promote a certain illness in our lives, potentially. The likelihood is there. The probability is there. The predisposition is there. And then what we have learned is that these disease genes, we all have them. The body usually repairs these disease genes and they turn into healthy genes, in most cases. But sometimes you can also have healthy genes and they become actually disease genes. You know, we have excessive sun exposure. To some people, it can promote certain skin cancers. So there's certain environmental things that we can do that actually can create and maintain disease genes, even though most of these disease genes repair themselves. So when you have these disease genes, you can see it from the schema, from the picture here. These disease genes then can lead to disease. So that's what they were telling him at the Mayo Clinic. You got the wrong genes. There's nothing we can do. Your body didn't repair all of these disease genes, and that's why you have what you have. Now, this is a new concept that we now understand. This is a new concept that has come into being in the last 5-10 years. We understand now that yes, the body is coming with disease genes. Yes, the body has healthy genes, but we now understand that the disease genes can heal themselves. And that happens in response to good nutrition. You've heard this idea that genes are the gun, but the lifestyle pulls the trigger. The lifestyle can also stop the trigger from being pulled. We have not much evidence for this, that people even with prostate cancer, if we catch it early enough and they change their diet, the prostate cancer will diminish and the prostate will heal itself. 3 months. Dr. Ornish has done this very, very convincingly, published in many medical journals the last 6 years. The same diet that reverses heart disease, the same diet that reverses diabetes, the same diet that reverses high blood pressure, the same diet apparently now can do something about what we thought was a genetic problem, prostate cancer. We have underestimated the power of the body, the potential of the body to heal itself if we put the right foods into the system and we practice a healthy lifestyle. So here you see, changing lifestyle changes the genes. The genes will not change, but the expression of the gene will change. You can make lifestyle changes so the genes will not express themselves in a disease-promoting fashion. You can put these genes, these dangerous genes, to sleep. And they won't trouble you anymore as long as you follow a simple, healthy lifestyle. So comprehensive lifestyle changes can cause beneficial changes in the expression of many genes in just months. The power that we have, the choices that we can make in favor of supporting the body's desire of healing itself is unlimited. But you see, Mr. Brenner didn't know this. Mr. Brenner was told, what you have, you have. You picked the wrong parents, you have the wrong genes, and you have all this disease, and there's nothing we can do about it. I left Mr. Brenner that day. I didn't see him again during the break time because I was intimidated. He stayed with the program all 4 weeks, 19 lectures. I would see sitting him there, and he sat like this. Just like you. And then the program came to an end. And as you know, in our program, we give people the biometrics. We measure their blood pressure and their weight and their cholesterol. We measure all these things. And then we measure it again after 4 weeks. And then we do it again after 3 months to give people feedback so they know that it really works, to encourage them. So after 3 months, I came back to Kalamazoo in Michigan to be with our alumni. And somehow, the word was out in the community that I was in town. And guess who picked up the news? Mrs. Brenner. And she called me up at the hotel and she said, Dr. Deal,
I understand you have the special alumni meeting tomorrow night. I would like to ask you for a special favor. I would like you to feature my husband. The man, the hunter, the fisherman, the man with the icy, cold, gray eyes, the man who I felt threatened by. Mrs. Burnett, I'm very sorry, but you know, our program is already all filled for tomorrow night. You know, that was an excuse. You can always make time for something like this, right? But I didn't want to see this man. I didn't want to see him. And then she said, a very clever lady, a very wise lady, she said, Dorothy, you know, I'm an educator. I teach in the public school. I educate. We have something in common, don't we? She established a common base. She began to weaken my resolve. She says, Dorothy, you're an educator too, aren't you? And you know also that if you let my husband speak tomorrow night, it will be the best medicine that you can ever give. It will be the best thing you've ever done. I said, I'm very sorry, but I just don't know how to do it. And I began to fight internally with myself. One part of me said, the softer part said, maybe you should give him a chance. The other one said, no, I know this man. He will embarrass me. I don't want. And then somehow, the softer part of me, the spirit, led me to say yes. The moment I said yes to her, I regretted it. And she must have felt that I was uneasy. And then she said, Dr. Deal, he has a wonderful speech prepared. He has timed it. He has on a cue card. He has memorized it. It's going to be exactly 3 minutes. And he won't embarrass you. Please give him a chance. The next night, we have those 300 alumni there. And there's Mr. Brenner. And I had told him beforehand, I said, sir, I will hold the microphone for you. And I understand you have 3 minutes. Yes, sir. And I'd like you to be the first speaker. Because whatever damage he would do, I could hopefully neutralize it with the rest of the program. So I get up there, and I said, we have a special guest here. Mr. Brenner is with us. I have asked him to give a short report. And then I held the mic for him. And the first thing he says is, ladies and gentlemen, the four most important letters in the alphabet are the last four letters in the word American. And he said, if I as a German can, everybody can. I thought that was a pretty good opening, wasn't it? I can relax a little bit. And then he said, you know, I was in this program 3 months ago. I'm a Mayo Clinic man. This man is from Loma Linda. What do I know about Loma Linda? I'm Mayo. And I was really challenged by this man. He made all kinds of claims that he could reverse these diseases. And I was going to prove him wrong. And I decided right there, I would do everything 150% of what he says to show him and to prove him wrong, because I'm from Mayo. And they said, it's genetics and you cannot change the genetics. He said, let me tell you what happened to me. And then he showed these results. He said, my weight came down from 221 down to 208, and I've never eaten so much food in my life. He said, my blood sugars, I'm a diabetic, I'm on 67 units of insulin, came down from 205 to 131, and I'm no longer on diabetes medication. He said, my cholesterol was 288, as you know, that's high, and now it's 128. That's one of the lowest I've ever seen anywhere. And then he looked at his triglycerides and he said, my triglycerides used to be 2,300. They should be about 150, but now they're down to 445, a big drop. And he said, I'm off the medication for triglycerides. And so the triglycerides have come down big time. And look at my blood pressure. It has always been normal, 122 over 78, 122 over 80, 118 over 64. It has always been normal, but I used to be on medication. 3 blood pressure medications. Now I'm off these medications and I'm normal as if I was on medication. And he said, my pulse has gone down from 78 to 56, which means that he was in an exercise program. Because when you walk every day, when you exercise every day, your pulse slows down. When you wake up in the morning, it's no longer 72 or 76, it's more like 64. And as you do this more and more, it comes down lower and lower and lower. Just like these tennis players, when they wake up in the morning, they have a pulse rate of 32 or 36. The heart goes very, very strongly. Boom. Ba-bum, ba-bum. It's a strong beat. But when people are not exercising, their hearts are kind of not quite as strong, and it goes like, and the heart is just working itself. It wears itself out just about. So this man's heart was getting stronger. Remember, he had 9 heart attacks, and now his pulse is down to 756. Because he was determined to prove this man from Loma Linda wrong. And he said, it didn't take very long, and my angina, my chest pain, markedly decreased very quickly. I was able to level off my bed. No longer had to sit in this lazy boy chair. I no longer had to be in this bed that was always tilted sort of like this. I was able to level off my bed and remove my recliner, my lazy boy, from my bedroom. It no longer looks like a sick person's room, and I moved back into the same bedroom with my wife. I'm a new man. I'm a happier man. I now understand. Then he said, I've also become best friends with my neighbor's German Shepherd dog. Well, it's not just that I'm walking with him, but he has become a good friend because my 5 freezers are empty now. No, the dog has died of a heart attack since then. No. So he was a very happy guy. And so, you know, his 3 minutes were up, and I said to him, sir, what about this fishing trip to Costa Rica? Aren't you doing this? He said, I have 3 more months, don't I? I said, yes, you do. He was still as feisty as ever. And he said, I'll send you the pictures. Yeah, tell me another one. Well, he sent me the picture. But there was nothing on it. And then he sent me this picture. And people tell me, I'm not a fisherman, but people tell me, I don't kill fish. I don't like to kill anybody. I don't. Although I was ready to kill him. And she sent me this picture, and people tell me, this is probably 70, 80 pound fish. So I call him up. I said, Mr. Brenner, who caught that fish? He was insulted. He said, I caught that fish. I fought 4 hours with that fish to get that fish reeled in. And he said, you caught that fish. Wow, tell me, how about your angina pain? Well, I hardly had any pain, even though I was working for 4 hours on this fish. Towards the end, I had some discomfort, but it was okay. And I said, what did you do with the fish? I took a picture for you, and then I threw it back in because I'm a vegan now. That's amazing, isn't it? What a great story of how a man, once they understand, even though they may do it for the wrong reasons, they make changes in their lifestyle. I'll tell you another story. From dying to living, This is an unexpected U-turn. Another unexpected turnaround. This is Tom. He's from Minnesota. And Tom had some very, very bad news. Maybe I can show you the film. Do we have the sound on, please?
Last resort, doctors couldn't do anything more. Mm-hmm. I did some stem cell research and did some of that. That didn't help. Mm-hmm. So it was like it was a last resort. And what I say, thank God, Chip. That's mm-hmm. I'm here today and I feel good. And everyone sees me and they say, boy, you look like $1 million now. Just way better. So they pulled me out and they said, well, call your family. So I called my son and some people in with me. And they go, you've got some major problems. And I go, what do you mean? He says, well, you got 5 arteries plugged. Mm. 5 major ones plugged. Starting at 100%, 99, 98, 96, 95, somewhere there. Major.
You went to them under the knife, right?
Yes. Had open heart surgery. With a
5
pieces of vital, yes.
Heart disease. But the benefits did not last.
And a month later, I felt really, really tough. So I went in again.
Because now, when they go back to check, what did they find?
They found all 5 of them are plugged.
I mean, the grafted vessels?
Yeah, the grafted vessels, yeah. They scarred up is what they call it.
Yeah.
They're not plugged, but they're scarred up. And they're scarred up so much that they can't put a stent in there.
See, he had exhausted every possible medical intervention. He was now at a dead end, right? And then I guess, is that when Chip came in?
Yes, that's when Chip came in. I had nothing else I could do. The doctors couldn't do anything for me. They said, you are like a lazy 80-year-old man. That's your health. And I said, no, I'm not. I won't stand for this. Something's got to be done. I said, well, I'll try it. And I did it. Thank God it worked like a charm. It was great.
Maybe at this point in time, it would be a good opportunity for us to see how Tom is living. Because when he came into the program, it was a huge challenge. I felt a pretty big bunch of pressure on me because I didn't know if he was actually going to make it through the program or not. We were staring at our most challenging case yet. But we have a photo of Tom that I'd like us to look at now. And this is him after a year after taking the chip class. He's out there, he's digging his garden, not using a rototiller. He's using a spade.
Wow.
That is not a lazy 80-year-old man out there.
Just think, this was 13 years ago when we put him on 3ABN. Tom is still doing very well. I mean, look, you saw him taking care of his garden there. If he would have not made lifestyle changes, he could have been taking care of his own grave. He was that close. All the centers, the research centers in Chicago, could not help him. They tried to do all kinds of very, very sophisticated things. It didn't work. And then he does something very simple. He changes what he puts at the end of his fork and knife. And Tom is doing very well today. This is 13 years later. He's in Minnesota. He's enjoying life. So here are some questions for you. Just raise your hand. Let's think about this. What brought about the lifestyle change in the life of Mr. Brenner? Why did he change? What caused him to make a change when he sat there and said,
you don't tell me anything?
Pride.
Pride. Yes, he was very proud. I'm a Mayo man. Who are you? Pride. Pride sometimes can build obstacles to understanding new ideas, right? That happens sometimes in the religious world too. You begin to understand new concepts of who Jesus is, but somehow you're blocking it because I'm a good Presbyterian. My grandparents have been Presbyterians. I shall not open myself up to these kind of ideas. Pride. It happens in all areas of our lives, isn't it? Not just in religion or in health. Yes, what else?
The challenge of not being able to catch
that
fish you told me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you hear what she said? It was the challenge not to care to catch the fish, because I challenged him. You won't catch that fish. And he said, I'm going to prove it to you. So the challenge was there. The defiance was there. There was a change in attitude that came, but that came later, didn't it? He didn't really change his attitude. He had this defiant attitude that actually caused him to make the healthy lifestyle choice just to prove me wrong, right? But after that, yeah, he became a totally different man. He throws the fish back in. He says, I'm no longer eating these things. I'm plant food oriented now. Okay? What are some of the other reasons? Yes?
I think what happened is sometimes there's a mask that we hide behind, and he was challenged to see that. What am I to lose? I'm going to try this. And he tried it your way.
Mm. Yeah, sometimes we all wear masks. It has to do a little bit with that pride. I don't want to really face those new kind of concepts. But then he began to sort of open up a little bit to it. What about this whole idea of, do you think the group dynamics helped him? The fact that he was in a group of 300 people and he saw people, they were telling, you know, I bring people sometimes up, like we did the other day with you. And people give reports. Wow, if that person can do it, maybe. No, I'm German, I can't do it. Oh, maybe. And then you bring up a German next time. I mean, if he can do it, maybe there's some hope for me too. So the group dynamics might be helpful. What else? Oh, what an important consideration. Do you think it was helpful to have his wife there? Do you think she stood next to him lovingly? Do you think she was telling him, I want you to do this? No. She was just by his side, just being, experiencing deep pity for a man that she also felt couldn't really do anything because they all knew it was in the genetics, right?
Well, she said it was also because she needed to lose the weight.
Yeah. Ah, do you hear this? The wife maybe became somewhat of a model for him because she would take some action to maybe shed some extra pounds, even though he thought that was not very much. But nevertheless, it must have inspired him a little bit, or at least made him pause. Well, maybe I should do something for my health too, even though in my case, it's too late. Anybody else?
He probably realized that the Mayo Clinic gave no hope, and you gave him some hope.
Okay. Yes, Mayo Clinic was actually dead end, right? We've done everything we can. You're on the best medications. You have the best doctors. There's nothing we can do anymore. And that may have been true, medically speaking. But they did not understand that you can encourage the body and people to align itself more with natural law, laws that God placed into our bodies to help us to develop, again, optimal health. Any other ideas with regard to Mr. Brenner? Yes. Okay. Yes, I think I was a very wise man. I listened to my daughter. She remembers, she said, ask him, being kind to him, and ask him, what is it that you would like to do yet that I can help you with? It's a very good idea. Reaching out to people, yes.
A
big burn?
He had a goal to reach.
Yes, he had a goal to reach. What was the goal? To catch that fish. Because he wanted to prove to me that he could do it, right? I beg your pardon?
Decreased quality of life.
Yes. I'm sure that must have also gone through his mind, the decrease in the quality of his life. It was a miserable life. But again, you know, he probably felt very hopeless because, after all, the Mayo Clinic told him, and that's the best information we had at that time. There's nothing you can do. It's a genetic thing. And that has happened forever, it seems. When physicians had a hard time to figuring out something, And maybe it ran in the family, well, it's the genes, you know, you picked the wrong parents, you know, you should have done a better job in picking better parents. Well, it's kind of cute, a cute little sentence, but it doesn't really solve the problem. Well, the other thing that we have often said in the past is, well, it's the stress of life. Your cholesterol is so high because of your stress. No, it's not because of stress. It's because of what we eat. The stress may cause us to eat the wrong foods. That's true. But it's not the stress itself that causes that. Because in World War II, as these countries were occupied by German Nazi soldiers, I mean, heart disease diminished because the people had to live on very simple foods because the soldiers took all the livestock from the people, the areas that they occupied. We talked about that the other day. What about Mr. Kalinowski? What about Tom? What do you think caused him to change his lifestyle? Give me some ideas here. Fear, hopelessness, seen by the best physicians, the best medical centers, nothing could be done. He had a son to live for, right? And then what about this idea? They said to him, you are just an 80-year-old lazy man. Did that challenge him? That got him, didn't it? Yeah, he really spoke up to that. He didn't want to accept that description of a man that was then in his 48 years of age. Okay. How about the intervention by the neighbor who was our trip facilitator? She was good friends with him, good neighbors. And said, by the way, can I invite you to come and join our, I'm doing a special program on health. Would you be open to this? I mean, you've tried all the other things. Would you be open? See, a kind invitation. Not barreling down on this man, because we don't know sometimes why people have certain problems. We should be very careful not to be judging people, but say, would you be open to try this? We've had 85,000 people. It's a good track record. We've had 45 scientific medical papers published in medical journals. It's a reliable program. It's a proven program. It's a documented program. Can I invite you to join us? Well, let me take you one step further. These were reports from yesteryear. Let me bring you up to date on what's happening now in the world of CHIP. We have sound?
Say they found a way to save you, the taxpayer, money, and they're doing it one fork at a time. Say they found a lifestyle program that is taking a bite out of the high cost of healthcare and at the same time making you feel better. And to quote executives, the results are simply amazing.
And a lot of people are noticing that I just look and feel better, so that's all positive.
Brian Ebers, a department director for the Lee County School System, lives with MS. Until a few weeks ago, he couldn't walk without a cane. But he doesn't need it anymore.
I feel better, and so I've decided that I'm going to leave that behind for a while and see how it goes.
That's because Brian is a student of CHIP, the Complete Health Improvement Program. It's where people are taught to eat meals that are plant-based, and Brian says it's a program that works.
The only reason I do this is because it gives me an opportunity to give people hope. People don't have hope anymore. They've tried and failed.
Kathy Raynard is a CHIP instructor. She explains why the more emphasis you put on vegetables, beans, and grains, and the less on meat and dairy, the better you'll feel. You can reverse chronic diseases like hypertension, cardiovascular disease, and diabetes.
You can choose to eat what you want, but the education kind of helps people see that what they've been doing potentially is the reason for their chronic disease, and they have the ability to change that.
So people like Brian aren't just walking and feeling better, they're spending less money on healthcare. Human Resource Director Angela Pruitt says that's saving the school system a lot of money.
4% of our employees result in 47% of our healthcare costs.
So along with the school district, Lee Memorial Health System put the CHIP program to the test. What they discovered was a remarkable turnaround with the health of their employees. After 12 months, for every dollar LMHS spent on helping employees live a plant-strong diet, they saved $2 in healthcare costs, with some added benefits.
One of the things that they've told us is that their energy level had increased dramatically. So we know that from that perspective, they take less time off from work. They are more productive on the job.
The two largest employers in Lee County say you can't argue with success like Brian, and they want to give all their employees the opportunity to be healthy by choice, not by chance.
We have the ability to help you reverse your chronic disease if you follow the principles we teach.
All right, now administrators say the CHIP graduates look so great and have lost so much weight, there's now a waiting list to get on the program. If you're interested in learning more about CHIP, just go to fox4now.com and click on this story.
Is the so-called good life killing you? Could the fast food and inactivity of your typical day be the key reason for your poor health today? 70% of all deaths are now attributed to lifestyle choices. And thanks to obesity-related health issues, this will be the first generation to live shorter lives than their parents. We all know the solution: move more and eat better. But we also know the power of bad habits. How do you change an entire lifetime of unhealthy choices? You can't do it alone, but there is help.
Well, I was about 50, a little over 50, and I had been obese for about 30 years and weighed about 80 pounds over my wedding day weight. I just, you know, felt tired all the time, didn't have a lot of motivation for doing much of anything. I knew I needed to lose the weight, and I needed a program that I could do easily and for the rest of my life. When I found out about CHIP, I began to apply the principles that were taught. I began to lose weight. The weight just melted off. And within a short time, I was feeling a whole lot better. I was able to fit back into my wedding dress for my 35th wedding anniversary, something I had always dreamed of and didn't think I'd ever be able to do again. And as I was walking one day, I had so much energy that I just felt like bursting into a run, which I hadn't done for many years. On top of that, I was able to play with my grandson in the park, and I wasn't getting sick anymore like I used to. CHIP just gave me my life back, and it's a lifestyle that I can do for the rest of my life.
Did you know that lifestyle diseases aren't just preventable, but also largely reversible? The Complete Health Improvement Program, CHIP for short, is the preeminent community lifestyle intervention education program, where participants start to see a dramatic difference in their biometrics after 30 days into their three-month-long program. Clogged arteries begin to open up, blood pressures come down, diabetes turns around, people eat more but they lose weight, and high cholesterol levels drop often more than 20%. CHIP is all about choices. Safe, simple, deliberate lifestyle choices. CHIP gives you the education, motivation, and support structure needed to make smarter choices. Over 50,000 CHIP graduates are living proof that CHIP works.
In fact, to date, CHIP has over 20 published papers in peer-reviewed academic journals in the medical and scientific literature. And we believe that that makes it one of the most well-published community-based lifestyle interventions in the world. In fact, just recently, the American College of Lifestyle Medicine presented these results and discussed this paper on their website. And this is what they said. This study demonstrates clinical results of a large, we're talking 5,070, free living cohort in North America, yielding some of the most impressive recorded clinical changes ever in the literature.
CHIP can help you get the healthy life you've dreamed of, kick the old habits of the so-called good life, and help you step confidently into the best life.
An osteopathic physician is trying to change our community's health and wean them off prescription drugs. Well, I talked with this physician and found out how. Charles Ross has spent years treating patients with various diseases, and he went on a mission about 3 years ago to reverse those ailments. The success of his program, he says, is a plant-based diet.
I was going to have cataract surgery in this eye, as I was told by two different doctors. Now I can see out of it just darn near normally.
Before going on this food plan, Bryant said he had a heart attack and bypass surgery. He says he's now off prescription medication.
It's treating not only what you eat, how you exercise, how you manage stress, but also how you connect with the community.
We know that diet matters tremendously to human health. Diets that increase the amount of vegetable, Mediterranean diet, for instance, show improvements in health across the board.
Ross says he teaches the National Complete Health Improvement Program because he wants to help people in Douglas County. Reporting in Roseburg, I'm Kristen Goodwillie.
Hi, mabuhay! I'm Dr. Lindalyn Barona, and I am a facilitator for the CHIP here in Philippine Publishing House. We have our regular sessions 3 days a week, and then we have our physical fitness, we have cooking demos, and after this CHIP program, we have shared the CHIP principle to our community. We have been having our Physics Sunday fitness program, and the people from the community comes, we give them health tips, not only about health, but about cooking and lifestyle changes. There are around 600 people from the community that are participating, from the young to the old, ladies and gentlemen, and they are enjoying this exercise. The one leading our physical fitness is Alan, who had a heart attack 5 years ago, and he participated in CHIP. And now he is doing he's leading the exercises because he used to be a diabetic. He had a stent, but now everything, he has no more medicine.
Hi, mabuhay. I'm Alan. 6 years ago, I was a diabetic patient. I had a heart attack. I was suffering from hemolytic anemia. I had 4 months of consecutive blood transfusion, 4 bags every month. And I heard about CHIP. So I joined CHIP. I was taking 172 units of insulin a day, and after the 1 month program of CHIP, it went down to 25 units after a month. Then after 3 or 4 months, it's zero. Then now after 6 years of practicing the CHIP principles that I have learned from them, I'm now leading a 6 days a week physical fitness program just to share what I have learned from CHIP. Every Sunday morning during our physical fitness program, we have now 600 people participating and attending to us regularly. Energetic and healthy people joining us every day, from children up to adults, especially men. Coming from my heart, I owe it from CHIP. I love CHIP, I'm endorsing CHIP, and thank you very much, CHIP program.
You saw some of the community programs. You saw the program in Kalamazoo, Michigan, with Mr. Brenner. You saw the program that was taking place in Minnesota with Mr. Tom Kohalski. And then you just happened to see some of the programs taking place in Florida, where large corporations like hospitals and school districts subscribe to these kind of programs to reduce medical costs and to have healthier employees. You've also been just now to the Philippines. I was just there a few weeks ago, and there are in many, many cities in the Philippines, you see this kind of upsurge in wellness programs. The CHIP program is sowing seeds. People are ready. They want to have a healthier lifestyle. You met Alan there. I mean, a heart disease patient 6 years ago. Now he has 600 people every Sunday in one of the big parks in Manila. It's an exciting venture when we recognize that we are co-laborers with God. What these people have all in common is they practice a very simple diet where they eat mostly fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and plenty of beans and lentils, and some nuts and maybe some seeds. They get into an exercise program. They begin to try to become nicer people, and it improves the whole community, and the church becomes a center of influence of health. I was in Taiwan last year, and I had a large group of people at a national convention there to advocate lifestyle medicine as the new way of treating these diseases through nutrition and exercise. But then I said, I want to recommend one more item. And I said, this is especially for you men. I said, there are men and women in the audience, large group of people. I said, this is for you men. I want to give you a personal encouragement. I said, when have you given flowers to your wife the last time? There was silence. Then one man said, oh, it must have been at the wedding. This man was about 60 years of age. And then one man spoke up. He said, oh, no. I give flowers to my wife on Valentine's Day. And she pipes up and says, tell him what year it was. You know, we all speak different languages of love. Some people just like to do some nice things for their spouses. Others, they like to write amorous love letters. Nice idea. Others give flowers. I've been giving flowers to my wife for many, many years because I know that's her language of love. She purrs like a cat when on Friday afternoon I give her flowers. I mean, I've gotten into trouble a couple of times with that. I should tell you one thing. My wife has a piano laboratory, a school of piano learning, and it's sort of attached to our house. And my wife teaches children from the time that are 3.5 years of age till people that are going on the concert stage. And so when she has young children up to the age of 13, she always makes it a point, the parents have to come with the child. And the parents are encouraged to take notes of instruction or to use the tape recorder to record the lesson. It becomes very important because she says, I only have your child for 1 hour, but you have the child for 7 days. You need to help the child and provide the motivation that I'm trying to do while I'm here with you. So it's Friday afternoon, and I had told my boy the day before, I said, I'm going to Wisconsin. I'm going to be at some special camp meeting there. I want you to give mommy some flowers from daddy. Now, he's 7 years of age, and I said, you know, you can ride your bike to the florist. It's all prepaid. You don't have to worry about the money. Dad is taking care of it, but I want you to give mom the flowers on Friday afternoon. I want you to pick them up, and when the studio time closes, it's usually 4 or 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon, I want you to come in and give it to mom and tell her it's from your lover. The boy feels very important. You know, I'm teaching him some aspects of how to be a loving gentleman. Sunday, benefiting some lovely lady. So he runs, he rides his bike to the florist, he picks the flowers. It's 4:15. My mother, my wife has the last students there. She teaches in groups, okay? Especially these children there, they're being taught in groups. She has 8 pianos in the studio there. And the parents are all there. So there are the students there and the parents. And this boy struts into the studio and says, "Mom, this is from your lover." And my wife is totally, well, she understands, but the parents are totally shocked. So my wife has to help them to understand that this is sort of one of my ways of how I let my wife know, especially when I'm not at home, that I'm thinking of her, and it's Friday, so these flowers are Friday night, Sabbath, Saturday, Sunday on the table there. Since we have 2 moments left, let me tell you something else what happened. This is another time when I was at a special camp meeting on the East Coast, and I had ordered some flowers, and I told the flower shop, be sure you bring those flowers before 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. Okay. Now, the time difference between Loma Linda and the East Coast is 3 hours. Okay, so I knew that they were going to bring these flowers at 5 o'clock. I know the florist. I said, be sure you do it at 5 o'clock. Yes, sir. So at shortly after 8 in the evening, I called my wife because I'm fishing for a compliment. I wanted to say, oh, you're such a wonderful husband. They just brought some flowers for me. Da, 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 right? Before I can make that phone call, of course, I have arrived there at the camp meeting, and there's a lady there at the front desk, and she gives me a letter, an envelope. And I know what that is. It's usually the president. Sometimes they give you a nice letter of welcome, and they have a nice basket of fruits, and so, you know, some of these kind of things. Different conference do different things. But so I just expect, oh yeah, this is a letter. And I just about want to put it away. And then I look at the handwriting. I'm stunned. I have seen this before. And it says, first class mail. It's spelled M-A-L-E. I know who that is. I recognize the handwriting of my wife. And it's shortly after 8 o'clock. I want to call her, but I'm no longer concerned about fishing for a compliment. I said, honey, how did you know this? You didn't know where I was going to be. I never told you the address. You had asked me before, and I said, don't worry about it. They pick me up at the airport, and they take me to some boonies, and there's a big, huge blue tent, and, you know, they have camp meetings out there. I said, how did you know the address? She says, oh, a week ago, I called the conference president. I got the address. And you see, this is what life is all about when it really matters. You outdo your partner. Here, I'm trying to do something nice for her because I was fishing for a compliment, and she has already preempted me. She had already done much more and thought about it days ahead of time. So that's what a good marriage is all about. You give 150%, and the partner gives 150%. And you try to surprise each other. But it happens. Your heart makes somersaults of joy because you know there's a God who takes care of us. By the way, about those flowers, you know, I began to learn after a while, it was costing me quite a penny. So I began to plant my own roses. So when I'm on the trip now, I said, honey, be sure you cut some roses. I did this last week. I said, Friday, be sure you cut some roses. And remember, I planted them. Shall we have a word of prayer? Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful that you have planted in our hearts that love for others, even for our communities. And we pray that that love will grow in such a way that even it will affect us personally, in that we put and order our lives in such a way that we can be the people with the best possible health. Oh, there are many needs here. We understand, Lord. But give us all courage. Give us encouragement that we can be the best that you want us to be because we have the formula of how to do it. How to eat, how to drink, how to exercise, and how to be a loving person. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you all. We'll see you this afternoon at 4 o'clock. But before you leave, let me sort of draw your attention to this book. I didn't know they had it here. This is one of my favorite books. This was written by Dr. T. Colin Campbell. Remember I mentioned his name to you several times? This was written in 2007, and has been on the bestseller list ever since. If you get your book on the bestseller list for 1 year, you are successful. This is since 2007. This is now 11 years. This was just reissued. This is an enlarged version. This came out a year and a half ago. The China Study, the most comprehensive study of nutrition ever conducted, startling implications for diet, weight loss, and long-term health. The most important study ever done, helping us understand the relationship between disease and diet. Diet and disease. Chronic disease, diet. Take a look at it. They still have a few left in the ABC. Please be prepared to write the questions out for us tonight, right? Write them on paper, questions that pertain to our program here, and then we'll answer them on Thursday afternoon. I have a special question answer period there for you.